I'm John Mo. This is Future Tense from American Public Media. The iPhone 4 officially goes on sale today, a well-hyped event, but the day has turned out kind of meaningless. Some mail-order customers got their phones Tuesday. AT&T says the only phones in their stores today are for customers who pre-ordered. You could join the massive line at the Apple store, or you could just wait a while because it's only a phone. Want to know if Twitter is important? They're getting visits from heads of state. Russian President Dmitry Medvedev stopped by Twitter's Bay Area offices on Wednesday. He even tweeted, "Hello, everyone. I'm now on Twitter, and this is my first message." And while Medvedev was visiting, Twitter was crashing because it couldn't handle all the people tweeting about the World Cup. One of the biggest trends online is geolocation, letting your computer or phone report where you are. Foursquare is a location-based social networking site that's having big growth. Twitter is incorporating geolocation functions. A lot of people think Facebook is about to dive in a big way. As you download apps or go places online, you're going to be asked more often to share information about where you are. Thing is, the law governing who can get the information you share and what they can do with it is 24 years old. The Electronic Communications Privacy Act was passed in 1986, before any of us were online. Today in Washington, a House subcommittee hears testimony about proposed changes to that law. Mark Zwillinger is testifying. He's a Washington lawyer who specializes in internet practices and privacy issues, and he summed up the existing legal framework for us.
There's communications that are in electronic storage. You might think of that as email. And then there's contents in a remote computing service. Then there's transactional data, that is any other record or information about a subscriber. And then finally, there's your basic subscriber information, like who you are, your address, et cetera. And so courts, government providers try to layer the framework of the services they provide into one of those buckets. And they have to answer very difficult questions like, what is a Facebook friend request? Is that a record of a stored communication? Is that an email in electronic storage? That's where the statute runs into difficulty.
How clear is current law relating to geolocation?
It's not very clear at all. There's one set of standards for obtaining historical data about where a person may have been, and there's a different set of standards for obtaining prospective data in the future.
When you say historical data, that seems to imply that it's in the past tense, it's places you have been, but geolocation is all about where you are presently.
Well, yes, but geolocation data is also preserved, and a historical record might be made of it. So if you think about cell phones, whenever you make a call or receive a call, the cell tower location where you are transmitting through is preserved with the record of the call.
The Center for Democracy and Technology's Alyssa Cooper says geolocation can come with some privacy risks.
A lot of people recognize that location information is very sensitive. It not only reveals where you are on a day-to-day basis, it can also be highly identifiable. So you only need to collect information about a person for a couple of days before you realize that with the one data point of where that person is at night, well, that's where they live, and the other data point where that person is during the day, that's where they work. Those two data points together can identify someone uniquely.
So if I want to participate in geolocation for, you know, I want to play along with Foursquare, but I want to stay away from the creeps, is there a way of having one and not the other?
Applications like Foursquare, the idea is to publicize where you are and what you're doing, and to check in at all these places and let the world know. And so for those who are more privacy sensitive, staying away from services that are kind of by default public is one way to do that. But there's other services, and a lot of the services more in the social networking kind of space where you're really just trying to meet up with friends or meet new people in your area, have more limits on who you're sharing with and better controls around that information.
Producer Larissa Anderson is here, and she has news of a creepy Japanese robot doll baby. Hi, Larissa.
Hi, John. Yeah, his name is Yotaro, and he does all the things a baby does. Cries, has a runny nose, he giggles. He was built for a robotics competition, but the people who made him noticed that people responded to Yotaro as if he were a real baby. Wanted to take care of him and touch his little robot face.
All right, you can see if you feel the same way. We have video of Yotaro at futuretense.publicradio.org. Why is this significant that people felt this way in Japan?
Well, Japan has a low birth rate, and the question is, if a robot baby can make people want to care for it, will it inspire them to make a real baby?
Best of luck there, Yotaro, with the birth rate crisis. This is Future Tense. I'm John Moe.